Hey, it's Craig from Revolution Radio. This is just a reminder. Can you hit that subscribe button? That way you never miss a new episode of Canadian AF. And now, Revolution Radio and Canadian AF are proud to announce we are the newest members of a collective of some of the planet's greatest content creators on the new Cryer Media family. You can check out all the goodies that Cryer Media has to offer, including this podcast, at cryer.co. Once again, that's CRIER.CO. Thanks so much for listening to Revolution Radio and enjoy this podcast. We almost need glow sticks for that intro, don't we?
Like, oh,
we
really do. It's
like, you don't have any?
No, I don't have glow sticks. No, I know I should. I really should.
I don't have any either. I got that ink up. One of mine broke and I got it all over me.
That's right.
Yeah. It's toxic.
Welcome to Canadian as Fuck, everybody. My name is Craig G, live right here on Revolution Radio. We are also live on our YouTube channel, which is Revolution Radio TV. My name is Craig G, alongside our man Derek Lewis, tattoo artist, musician, photographer, wonderful, wonderful cat. I love this guy more than life itself. Not quite that much, but I do love him a lot. So I do love him a lot. Underneath that, filling in for our man Dimitri tonight, who Dimitri is at Peter Gabriel right now. He's checking out the Peter Gabriel show. So our man Scotty Comer, Scotty AF, is joining us. He is the lead principal singer, songwriter, and all-around awesome production guru for a wicked, wicked Toronto punk band called The Scary Loud. So thanks very much for joining us tonight, Scotty, filling in for Dimitri, buddy. We greatly, greatly appreciate it, brother.
I like his name. Scotty AF.
Scotty AF, I love it.
I didn't even think about that.
We've gotten hooked up, actually, with our dear friend to this program. His name is Brian Hogue, plays for a band called C0NDU1T, Burlington Industrial, wicked, wicked-ass band. Conduit is the name of the band, and he's a dear friend of the program. He hooked us up with our man tonight, interviewing the great Simon Paul. And, man, we got some wicked stuff that we're going to talk to you about, brother. So, we just want to introduce basically everyone to you. And what I'm going to do is, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you a quick question. Two questions. The first thing, we're going to play some Tragically Hip here, and there's a reason we're going to play the Tragically Hip. How did you get the Tragically Hip gig? And what was the essentially the inspiration for you for World Container?
Wow. I was working at Universal within their, I was actually in their art department. I was sitting with their art department. And I was already doing stuff and I would kind of put stuff around my desk. And then the art director there was like, he slowly started like getting me in on doing things. And then I remember the World Container project. What the idea was, the group of four people pitch ideas for it. So just pitch ideas, and then that director would take it to the band, and then whatever they picked won the package, I guess, would be the thing. So my ideas won. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So and I mean, I used I used a lot of different kind of elements and stuff that the other people produced. But majority of it was I sat there for a month just creating like this. So the idea was like World Container. It could be anything. It was totally open. It was like anything they could be. It could be a drop of blood. It could be the inside of a skull. It could be anything. So that was everything in it. And I tried to do like each page, each song, with its own world unto itself. So it
became awesome.
Yeah, cool. It became a month just sitting there, neglecting my actual job and working on a hit package. So it was a
wow. That's freaking cool, dude. That is super cool.
They made a Juno out of it. So yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. That's awesome.
That's so. Something.
It sure is, buddy. Well, listen, let's start at the program by playing something from said album, shall we? From World Container. I love this song. Here's the Tragically Hip in view. This is episode 65 with our man Simon Paul right here. Canadian as Fuck on Revolution Radio Canada.
I love you. You know I do.
album. That is The Tragically Hip, taken from the album World Container, and the track In View, one of my favorites. You're Not the Ocean also being my second from that. And of course, our man Simon Paul, right underneath me, was the guy who did the artwork for said album. So thanks again so much, Simon, for joining us tonight, brother. We greatly appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
Listen, let's get right into it, shall we? We've got a bazillion things that we want to talk to you about. For me, I think what we should do is, for any artist, I love to essentially take them back. Where did you grow up?
I grew up mostly in Whitby, Ontario. So,
okay.
Started in the UK, went to Ajax, then Whitby, and then went to college in Oakville.
Okay, so did you go to Sheridan?
Yes, I did.
Oh, nice.
I also did.
He does.
I also frequented Sheridan.
I was there in the olden days. I did classical animation, of all things.
Nice.
Really?
So, yeah.
Scotty, what did you do at
Sheridan? Film. Yeah, film and video. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a film guy.
I didn't know that. I thought you were just a music guy. And of course,
I do mean that a lot.
Just a music guy. I didn't mean to say that.
That's why we get along so well, because we just did so many damn different stupid hats, right?
Yeah.
We do share a lot of hats.
We do share a lot of
hats. We're kind of hat guys, yeah.
You're both wearing hats, too.
Yeah, you're both wearing hats right now.
This is Derek's. This is Derek's, yeah.
Is that
Culver's?
Wife's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's his wife's hat. There's glasses in it.
I don't know. Anyway, Simon, so Simon, who are some of your earliest influences as far as art goes?
As far as art? I don't know. It's a broad range. Like, I grew up like watching cartoons. I grew up reading comic books. As far as album artwork, probably like Factory Record stuff, Peter Saville.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bravo. Yeah. I was hoping you were going to say. Yeah. I was hoping you were going to say Factory. Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen Eric Gilmore and doing Skinny Puppy and Network Records. Just all that kind of stuff. A little Hypnosis, a little... and then when I got into more techno stuff, it was like Designers Republic all the way and things like that. So, and, you know, I've been influenced by, say, Dave McKean stuff. I like things that have narrative and kind of have a quality to them that have a bit of narrative to them, usually.
Uh-huh. Very cool. What were some of the earliest album pieces that you did? Some of the first pieces of artwork that you did?
Oh, wow. So the first kind of thing I did was the Download album. Inception was the first one. And then I did a Puppy Gristle cover, which is Skinny Puppy with members of Psychic TV / Throbbing Gristle. It was like this band that they put out. So I did that. And then I kind of just did a whole bunch of stuff for Kevin Key. And then I ended up doing, so I did with 7 albums. And then I actually ended up getting work at Universal Music, I think, kind of sort of based on that portfolio of work. And then it just kind of evolved from there.
What would you say is your percentage of stuff that you do that you're like fully into? You're sort of given the keys to just do whatever you want and just kind of like, we like you, do your thing, versus like people who really micromanage or people that have a lot of sort of ideas?
It's about 50-50. Like, you're either going to have people who really know what they want to do or have no idea what they want to do, and they'll know it when they see it. My favorite projects are the ones that I kind of do almost in a weekend, and then you show it to them. Like, recently I did a work for Snow Beast and for Dead Voices on Air, and I just did a bunch of stuff over a weekend and sent it, and they're like, we like all of it, we're gonna use all of it. I'm like, that's perfect. But then sometimes it's like pop acts really kind of tend to micromanage. I don't know what
branding
it's about that. I think what
is it? Is it sort of from their point of view that you need to
see? I think.
Or what is that?
I think the older it tends to be, like in my experience, the older a band is, the more they're kind of letting you kind of just run with it. When they're fresh, they've got so many ideas. They've heard so many stories about being micromanaged by A&R and labels and things like that, that they're kind of adverse to somebody kind of just jumping in and taking the reins. I prefer basically to work and collaborate with every single artist. If they have no idea, I'll just run with it and do whatever I kind of think. Mm-hmm. But I like to kind of go back and forth. I feed a lot off of lyrics. With the hip stuff, it's you don't really get to hear music, so I got lyrics, so I would build stuff out of the lyrics essentially, and try to figure out a move. And you know what the hip's going to be like? It's not like some wild, different kind of thing. So you kind of got a framework that you can work within that. They all have kind of a little bit of a visual language that I like to play with, but
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. God, he's got a bad single.
He's back.
It's not the signal. Yeah, it's funny the parallels there between that and I'm sure with Derek too, with tattooing, but also the producer. And it's the same thing. The younger they are, like, has to be this. And it has to be this. Just like, yep, sounds good. Let's move on. You know, it's such a drop. It's like, this is the thing coming out. And are other people doing this? We can't stand out of that overthinking sort of thing.
It's funny too, because within Universal, we were like an art department. So it was almost like you got signed and then you kind of were given us to work with. And some people love that because they don't have to kind of think about things. They don't have to, but it slowly shifted to the fact that by the time you get signed, you've kind of got a group of people that you're working with already that are visual and things like that. Outside of Universal, people come to me for me, right? So they come for me to like one of the things that I do. So it gives you a little bit of more kind of control in a sense, because they already know semi what they're expecting, I guess.
I guess if somebody like Brian Hogue comes to you, he's just basically going to say, I want Simon Paul.
Yeah, but he'll micromanage me as well, because he's Brian. So it's...
Right. Boom. Gotcha, Brian.
No, he's awesome. Really good. He's really good. That's but like, again, that's a collaboration thing. So he's very involved and we kind of go back and forth on things. And it's at the end of the day, you know, it's their product, you know, it's their names on it. It's whatever their kind of vision is for a record that you kind of have to support and on a visual basis, kind of support what they're doing with music. So it's not like I could just add a left field make up stuff that doesn't fit, you know?
So. Are you working strictly digital now, or do you still work, dare I say, analog?
I do both. I'm mostly working digitally, just because it's a lot easier. I've always felt that I was never a great painter or anything like that. So using Photoshop or Procreate or Illustrator was always kind of my vision anyway of how I wanted the end product to look. So I bought an iPad a couple of years ago, like 2018 or something, with a pencil. And previous to that, I was doing a lot of Illustrator work, doing illustrations, and it's like point click, point click, point click. And then I got back actually into drawing, like sketching. So I've been doing that a lot, like with Kevin Key's Patreon ads every week. That's all. It's all hand drawn, but it's on an iPad.
Yeah. Now, when you're drawing, so because I have so much distaste for the iPad. Because we're gonna just talk about iPads for a second. Sorry, right. Craig, we're not talking about music. We're going off on the side.
It's all good.
Did you get any of the skins for the screen or the pencil itself, like the silicone nibs?
No. So at all? So way back in the day, I used to for a computer shop out here. I used to demonstrate the original Wacom tablets.
Yep.
So I would go to computer shows and I'd be the guy drawing and showing you what you could do. And you'd crap out a little 72 DPI, you know, print or whatever. So it was kind of like drawing over here, looking there, and you did that for years, and then I stopped drawing. And then I tried at various places that I did work to get back into that. I found that I lost that hand-eye coordination. So the iPad was cheaper than a Cintiq. It was cheaper than like an portable, and you could do other stuff with it. It's not just a drawing thing. So I like how light it was, and I don't mind the screen and the actual default pencil. Like it kind of I like it. Like I don't. Really? I don't miss paper. I don't miss the scratchiness. If I want the scratch really? Paper, I'll draw on paper. I'll use yeah. actual, and I'll do that. But I like the smooth glass. I like the I just like how it kind of flows. So I'm one of those rare. I don't like cilantro either. So
wow.
it's
wow. Get him off the show, Craig.
That's a person.
Cilantro sucks.
No,
cilantro sucks.
It's only because
I totally agree with Simon. Totally sucks.
Poison. And the rest of us have a different gene. You taste yeah. like different things.
Dr. Pepper tastes.
Yeah, it's amazing. It tastes like soap.
yeah,
it's disgusting.
No,
yeah. disgusting.
Oh, it's
yeah. it's I've not. It's it, lovely.
No, I've gotten it on my hands.
Your brain thinks it's poison because you've got a different gene than the rest. That's what it is. That's.
I was just
it's like a
Scott. Scotty's breaking up, and I was afraid he. I was gonna say Scotty's breaking up, and I was afraid he was gonna say you don't like cilantro because you have a small penis. I was gonna.
That's what he said.
No, anybody.
He named his penis Gene. That's what he was actually saying.
I named my penis cilantro. Wow. Right? No one wants to see this conversation. Cares. Anyway,
nobody's gonna watch this.
Let's no one
tastes like soap. Does not taste like soap. That
oh boy! Wow. Okay.
Now my mom can't watch.
Before we get
HR paid. Before we get HR paged on us, Simon, would you be able to go back and let us know of the very first piece of artwork that you got professionally paid for?
That I got professionally paid for.
That you got paid for. Essentially, somebody said, "Here's money. Thanks for doing our whatever."
Well, I was in the video game industry previous to the music industry, so
okay, cool.
That the first game I worked on was a Spider-Man game for the Sega Genesis or the Sega CD-ROM. Can't remember what it was called.
Oh my god.
And I guess that's it. And that was in a place in Oakville. And we did like all the little movie sections in between. We had a whole like little team, this little art department where they animated stuff. And I was like ink and paint kind of thing. And then I guess that was like cool. my first job. But
that is super cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I did about 10 years in video games. But aside from that, I was doing stuff for, there was like, it used to be an alternative magazine called Access Magazine. I ran out of California. And I used to do, they did a rebrand and I helped them with the rebrand way back in 97, I want to say, something like that. So that was fun. And then
rebrand just tanked them.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think it was a last ditch effort to try and keep the magazine afloat, and they wanted to kind of rebrand with, it was like all like, you know, and it, I guess it just, you know, it's magazines. I can't even remember the last time I bought a magazine, to be honest.
No, yeah, I don't remember. I actually do remember the last magazine that I bought. It was a Focus on the Beatles because I love the Beatles, and it was just under $20.
Wow!
Just under about
insects.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Four insects from Liverpool. So, okay, how did you end up hooking up with Kevin Key?
So that was a thing that they always tell you not to do. So there was a fan forum for Skinny Puppy called litany.net, and we would just talk. You know, it's a fan forum. And then I think he was between record labels at the time, and I guess enough people bugged him to put out a series of, you know, like his back and forth series is basically outtakes, demos, live recordings that they would albums for Skinny Puppy. So his idea was to do 7 albums that were all about like all of his different other bands as well. So there's like a Hill, Tiergarten, Plateau, Download, and Skinny Puppy. So it was like that kind of thing. And then he put out then the website organized this thing about fan submissions. So I put in, so it's like submit artwork for, it's a way to get cheap artwork for, you know, your thing, but it's also to get fans involved as well. Cause it's basically low run stuff and you're going to, and it's who you're selling it to at the end anyway. So I submitted stuff for Download Inception. The band picked that. And then I was like, oh, hey, crap, this is great. So then I did one for Puppy Gristle for the Skinny Puppy album, won that one. And then the woman from Germany, Karen, she won for Cheer Garden, which bummed me out, but it was a really great cover and everything. So, and then one day, the guy who ran it, Scott Graham, called me up. He's like, Kevin wants to know if you want to put the rest of them together. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. Sure. Wow. No prior experience, really. Because I was in video games at the time. And I'm like, decided to get like a crash course. Like over this period, I was like talking to my art directors at work. And I'm like, how do you do print stuff? And it was like, they had to crash course me through all this kind of thing.
That's awesome. How do I make it the size it needs to be?
Yeah, I'm like, and then they're like explaining bleed and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then it kind of just went out from there. So we did the 7 records. And then a couple of years later, we did another Vault series and then another one. And then it's kind of exploded over like the last, well, during COVID, really.
That's yeah. Awesome.
That's been like 20 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Since 2002, something like that.
Amazing. Good for you, buddy. That's awesome. I just love it when I really dig it when artists kind of do like the is it Aiden Hughes, KMFDM's?
Yeah.
Artists, yeah. I love it when, like, you know, artists really get that they just hook on to an artist and just completely, you know, marry their art with the artist's art, and it just it makes so much sense. I just think that's so cool.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Because it's like it's like when a Skinny Puppy album comes out. I personally want a Stephen R. Gilmore, package with that. It'd be like Populate itself. It needs Designers Republic. If it's New Order, it's Peter Saville. That kind of stuff. But it's like I get the subconscious stuff, which is like a lot of fun because it goes into wild places that the rest of his stuff never does. In that way.
Sorry, Derek, you were going to...
I was going to ask, how many collective arts cans have you done?
I've just done one collective arts.
One?
Yeah, I just did the one, and after that, I've been working for the Granite Brewery here.
Okay.
And I've done, 8, something like that, 6 or 8 kind of cans for them. So. Nice. The way collective arts work is you kind of... you just send in artwork and it's a contest kind of thing, but they kind of pay you if they use your artwork kind of thing. So I've done it. I did it the once and then I haven't done it again. I've been thinking about doing it again, but yeah, it's kind of like a contesty kind of thing that they do.
When they launched a bunch of years ago, that's the only reason is because we have that in common is we like not my artwork, but the artwork for an album that Scott produced. Was used when Collective Arts launched. They had like this big launch party, and they had all these indie bands. And if you scan like the little QR code on the back, and it would bring you directly to the artist's music.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's a great thing because they advertise everybody like who's doing the art on the cans and the whole bit. Yeah. It was a really kind of cool experience. And you get your little bio on their website. They send you a package with like beer and hats and stuff.
They do send you beer.
They do send you beer.
Hats. Yeah. Hat.
And hats.
Hat.
And hat.
One, we have to share
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Simon, it's funny. I wanted to talk to you. Literally my favorite brewery in the world is the Granite Brewery. I used to live on Roehampton. I used to live on Roehampton, which is literally 2 streets north of the Granite at Mount Pleasant and Eglinton. Ringberry is my absolute favorite with Ringwood. And I also love their Best Bitter. So one of the things I love about the Granite is they're one of the few places that I've found that actually has like the hand pump, classic, like the real ale style of beer. And I just, I adore that. So I'm so happy that you do that. I've DJed 3 weddings at the Granite Brewery and I was a regular there for like 3 years. And like, it's just still to this day is one of my favorite places in the city. It's just one
awesome.
That.
Yeah, so were Granite you Brewery. Hired as a DJ? As a regular and like, oh, do the music.
Hey, I play music.
I was hired. I was hired as a DJ.
As a wedding DJ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Greg DJ'd my wedding as well.
Yeah, I DJ'd Derek's wedding. That's right.
Just play all Elmville and White Snake.
There you go. Yeah, that was a fun wedding, Derek. Actually, that was the Great Hall.
It was just White Snake. It was Here I Go Again on repeat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No, it was Here I Go Again, followed by the Final Countdown by Europe. Those were the two songs. And I just played them on loop over and over and over again.
That's all you need.
The Granite Brewery, followed by Say What, two of my favorite places in the city. So adore those two places. Yeah, super cool, man. That's what I wanted to ask you too. The Dragon Experience.
Yes.
So it was saying on your website that this was a picture by, was it Bree Thompson? Is that?
Yes. She was Kevin's partner for a number of years. And she used to look after Spencer Eldon, who is the Nirvana baby.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. He's the kid on Nevermind. And he's on this album cover.
Dick.
Yeah.
His dick is on that album, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we don't talk about that because there's all that legal.
His gene.
But yeah. So this one is when he was 13 years old.
Oh, right.
Photo shoot with that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. So Bree Thompson did a photo shoot with Spencer. Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, my God. And then some of the shots were at locations of David Lynch films.
Yes, yeah. So they did a tour around. He's like a big, Kevin's a big David Lynch film fan. So he's like, he went around it. So the idea behind some of these albums is an era. So of the era, he was, I guess, watching like a lot of, you know, either Eraserhead or whatever. Wanted those kind of, you know, those kind of creepy locations in the thing. So, and the whole album was based on a dream that he had. So that's why it is the way it is.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so he explained the dream to me and I kind of built it. And then I got to rebuild it again for vinyl, which is great because my skills had greatly improved in the 15 years since. Nice. And not only that,
he
did CDs by it and I had to load it for a record. So it's like I had to redo it anyway, almost. So,
but awesome! Yeah.
Go!
What a fun career!
Seriously,
it's kind of wild. Yeah.
What are you working on now?
I just finished a new Kevin record. I finished there another one. I don't know if I could talk about it. It's another one for him. Mm-hmm. I'm doing some jazz stuff lately. Like I'm in my jazz phase now, so I'm doing some jazz covers for Cellar Music, and podcast artwork, stuff like that. I basically do a wide range of kind of like whatever kind of comes in.
I'd say if you're going from like Kevin Key, who's like an industrial godfather, to jazz, that's pretty.
Yeah,
that's quite a 180, you know.
I really don't turn anything down because there's something to learn from all of it, right? So it's, you know, it's a paying gig, and it's the reason why I'm doing that too is it's a friend of mine that I used to work with as well, so he kind of helps run the label, only like gets me in to do a bunch of different things. So it's all like these different kind of relationship ties that kind of spread out, and I've been doing like another friend of mine, he does real estate. So we were doing these limited edition posters for different areas in Etobicoke. So we've done two of those so far. I think there's going to be four. We get them screen printed at Kid Icarus, and they turn out beautifully. And you know, something
is it to different areas of Etobicoke have a different vibe.
Yeah. So he basically. Yeah, so he wants to have a different either landmarks or the different kind of architectural vibe going on in that area. So the first two was Long Branch and Mimico. So he runs around, takes pictures of all the areas that he thinks are interesting, and then I kind of put it together in a collage, draw it out, and split it up into colors, and then Kid Icarus prints them.
That's a cool, nice. Very cool idea. Yeah.
So yeah, you're doing the latest project for Brian, I believe, right?
Yep.
Good.
I keep bugging that little tight-lipped on that.
How's he bugging that fucking guy? I'm like, dude, where is the record? And he's like, I know.
Yeah, and
I'm working on it.
I'm waiting for him to finish that record so that we can, so that him and I can go and do something. He's like, I can't do anything until I finish this record. I'm like, well, it's been months, buddy. Yeah. I mean, I know he's been a little on the downside.
Yeah, he's had a lot of stuff going on there.
And that's his thing, and that's cool. But like, get on with it, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had the cover for a while now. The rest of it has to kind of, and we're kind of, I don't know. They got to figure out what they want to do with it too, because they did like kind of like essentially a comic book with it as well. So it's there's a whole thing. So he's just kind of like, cool. He's in mixing. I guess he's mixing it right now. So.
He is, yeah. Yeah, I just spoke to him a couple days ago. So yeah, he is mixing it.
He's probably listening right now. And he's like,
probably, yeah. He's like, shut up.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks for
Brian.
He shouldn't be listening right now.
I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, right? Sorry. He's not depressed. He's busy.
He's all good.
Milking his broom.
We are, listen, Simon, want to say thanks so much, my friend. Really appreciate your time joining us here on the program today, my friend. And Greg, let's keep in touch.
Greg.
Yes.
You should maybe ask him about doing artwork for Revolution Radio.
I was going to say.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I would love to. Can't hear you.
I'm
over there. He can't hear you. Oh, do I have to whisper loud? Am I far enough away that Simon won't hear me?
Go to that.
Derek.
Yeah, let me mute it for a second.
Ear.
Derek?
I'm whispering in your, yes?
You're whispering in my ear. Oh, let me.
Shut up. Is it
shut
up?
Yeah.
I'll lean into you.
We should get him to do some artwork for our station.
I'm going to ask him very politely. But if you could do me a favor and just let me, you know, like, let me just,
finish.
We're going to, thank you. Exactly. We're going to say thanks so much to our friend Simon Paul here. Wrap this thing up. We definitely are going to be doing some work with our new friend here, our new bestie that we love to call anybody that joins the Revolution Radio camp. So, Simon Paul, welcome aboard, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Honestly, brother, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We're going to play taken from the Dragon Experience album from Kevin Key and Ken Highwatt Marshall. We're going to play a track off of this record. This is called Diagnosis. This track is freaking awesome. So, again, thanks so much. Simon Paul did the artwork for this record. You got to check it out. It's basically simonpaulbackwards.com. So it's luapnomis.com, right? Luapnomis.com. So it's simonpaulbackwards.com. All right, that's the website. So, again, my friend, thank you so much. Take care of yourself, and we will talk to you soon, because I definitely am going to hit you up for doing some artwork for us, okay?
Right, thanks so much, Greg. Thanks,
take care,
guys.
My friend. This is Kevin Key, Highwatt Marshall, episode 65, Canadians Fuck, with our new bestie, Simon Paul, right here on Revolution Radio Canada.
Check.
Hey, listeners, I'm Christy.
And I'm Melissa. And this is Buried Motives, where we dig deep into the details of some of the most gruesome
dirtbag murderers. She said she enjoyed hurting things that can't fight back.
And that is a disturbing view into the mind of a murderer. And such a dirtbag.
Yeah, that's not even strong enough words. This is totally a recipe for disaster. And not to justify whatever is going to happen, but you can totally understand and see how this would be in the works.
If you were only to look at what she did later on and not know any of that history, she would appear like off the wall crazy.
Oh, 100%. Because we're not even close to getting to the end yet. But you can just see this pattern and all this kind of stuff developing in her, which is what we're here for. We're digging deep.
Join us each Thursday as we unearth the dirtbags that live among us
and the motives buried there. Hope you join us as we exhume the truth.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.